This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
The moment of shock is just unforgettable.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
It's early autumn in the affluent neighbourhood of Cornelius, North Carolina. The luxury suburb lies along the shores of the pristine Lake Norman, where people can often be found sailing and wakeboarding on the water. On the 4th of September last year, an FBI raid in the early hours of the morning stunned the picturesque community. Local resident Mike Smith was led out of his house in handcuffs.
The FBI agents raided a Cornelius man's home. He's a musician, now facing serious charges, accused of using AI to create and stream music and illegally collect more than $10 million in royalties.
I heard that they just barreled through his house and, like, trashed it.
Mike Smith seemed to have it all. His post with 124,000 followers on Instagram highlighted his family life and successful music career, with his profile bio proclaiming, number one Billboard charting recording artist. You're actually listening to one of his tracks, Hardworking Man As I Speak, but now he could be facing up to 60 years behind bars.
I was so surprised by the scale. I was shocked.
Prosecutors have labelled the case against Mike Smith the first of its kind. But what might have driven him to set up this alleged scheme? And could streaming fraud be much more common than we think? Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Beth Godwin, and for BBC Trending, I've been exploring the dark side of music streaming. I've been speaking to people at the forefront of tackling fraud on music streaming services, who say this case could just be the tip of the iceberg, as well as music industry insiders who've worked with Mike Smith.
I worked with, like, Whitney Houston, which led to me working with the Rihanna camp, and then from there, it just went crazy. Like, anywhere from, like, Nappy Roots to Twista to Kanye West's label, Eminem's label, Sony Music.
Jonathan Hay is a music publicist based in New York. He's been working in the industry since the mid-90s. He told me he received a strange number of requests for a consultation through his website. This was over 10 years ago, back in 2012.
This guy had booked like 40 consultations. It's like, what in the world is this? It was the most consultations I've ever seen, right? But I was like, who is this?
You guessed it. It was Mike Smith. Jonathan tells me Mike had ambitions of becoming an artist and producer, and he paid for a week of Jonathan's time to make it happen. This led to a working relationship between the two.
He wanted us to be producers. Smith and Hay is what he wanted to call it. And then SMH Records was the name of his label, which is the worst name in the world. And he was paying so well, he suggested that we pay rappers to collaborate with us as a feature. And that's how we would become producers and we would penetrate in their fan base. It was brilliant.
Their strategy worked. With the contacts they built, in 2016, Mike managed to get a talent show, One Shot, off the ground with Black Entertainment Television, a cable network in the US.
One Shot is coming.
Ready for your one shot?
We set up one stage.
Let's get it.
In four cities.
Now watch Big Rich get rich.
With one chance to impress our celebrity judges.
Nah, it'll never make it.
Each week, MCs move on. One will go home with 100K and a record deal.
There were big names involved, including Wu-Tang Clan member RZA, DJ Khaled, and T.I., but while working on the show, Jonathan and Mike had a falling out. Jonathan told me he was concerned people on the show weren't being paid properly. Around a year after Jonathan and Mike stopped working together, Jonathan told me Mike unexpectedly came back into his life. He said Mike showed up at his place in the wake of an incredibly traumatic home invasion and suggested they get back to working together.
And so he was like, let's go back to what we were doing. You know, let's get features and you know, let's put this in the positive. I thought I lost you. Da 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 da. Just totally economy. And so we put out a jazz record and it hit number one on the Billboard charts.
The song you can hear was on that album. I've gone back and taken a look at Billboard, the official music charts in the US. And sure enough, Jazz Deluxe by Smith & Hay was the number one jazz contemporary album on the Billboard charts for the week of the 20th of January 2018.
He was brilliant with numbers. This is what we need to sell. This is how much radio we need. This is what we need to do to get on the charts. And so we did. We charted on Billboard. I was like...
But it wasn't long before Jonathan began to have doubts about working with Mike again.
we only charted for like the first week. It was number one, and then it dropped. And then some of the jazz people that I've known were like, that's weird. That's never, that doesn't happen like that. It just went from one to zero. You know, I'm like, Mike, what's going on?
And then Jonathan noticed some strange activity on one of Mike's other songs that he helped produce.
And then he did this Christian song, right? That's called Beautiful Day. That song hit on the Billboard Christian charts. And it ended up staying there for the whole year. Me and my good friend, we started to see our streams, and it was on Spotify for artists, and we were getting streams in like Vietnam and Pakistan, and it's like, okay, what? We knew something was off.
Jonathan told me he confronted Mike about these suspicious streams.
Mike was like, oh, that's, you know, it's just beta from Spotify. Like, you know, there's no way that we have streams in Vietnam and, you know, something is wrong. Then all of a sudden, all of our music started coming down.
Jonathan's suspicions grew. He started getting messages from distribution companies. These are services that help artists get their music uploaded onto streaming sites. This was in 2019.
I would get messages from TuneCore. Your music is taken down because of streaming fraud. Well, we had a lot of songs up there, man. And, you know, there was a lot of investments. Now all those artists are contacting me. And so we had so many collaborations, so many features. Everybody's contacting me. Where's our music? Where's our music?
Jonathan didn't understand why their music had been taken down. He's shown me emails where he argued his case with the distribution companies. But he couldn't get his accounts reinstated. He said this is when he decided to go to the police.
When our whole catalog went down, I was negative because I still had to pay the artists. And Mike owed me like $250,000. So I went to the local police in St. Matthews. They didn't know what they were looking at. And sure enough, they tell me to go meet with the FBI. So I met with the FBI agent in Louisville, Kentucky. And I sat down with him and he was looking at it. He was like, yeah, this is definitely something that we would be interested in. And I was like, okay, what do I do from here? And the FBI agent, he said, you're a publicist. Get eyes on this.
I've been in touch with the prosecutors in Mike's case about what Jonathan's told me. They haven't confirmed who first alerted them to the possibility that Mike Smith was involved in streaming fraud. But we do know that Jonathan told Billboard that his and Mike's tracks shouldn't be on the charts. He showed me correspondence about this. But Billboard told him everything checked out. I asked Billboard about this. They told me that they were confident that their chart methodologies and verification processes are accurate.
So then I felt stupid. I was like, okay, I don't know why we're banned. Nothing just made sense.
Jonathan then said he finally broke it off with Mike. According to the FBI, Mike's scheme was much bigger than Jonathan imagined. As well as trying to boost the profile of his own music, they say Mike was also stealing millions from music streaming platforms. Coming up, we'll hear from another of Mike Smith's former co-workers who had a very different experience working with him. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. So what has the FBI accused Mike Smith of doing? Well, to understand that, you need to know how music streaming royalties work. When streaming first took off, it introduced a different model of royalties for musicians. Streaming platforms create a royalty pool from a proportion of the money generated from subscriptions and ads on their services. And this is a huge amount of money. For example, in 2023, the largest music streaming service, Spotify, paid out $9 billion to music rights holders. The money in the royalty pool is given to music rights holders proportionally. For example, if my music accounted for 1% of the streams on a platform, I should receive around 1% of the money in the royalty pool. But how can fraudsters game the system? Well, Jonathan thought Mike was using bots to boost the music they'd made together. Bots are computer programs that can perform tasks automatically and repeatedly. They can mimic human behavior, like listening to a song on your phone. But the FBI has accused Mike of doing much more than that. They say he used artificial intelligence to create hundreds of thousands of songs, and then used bots to listen to these songs billions of times, generating royalties for himself. The FBI says that at the height of his scheme, Mike used over 1,000 bot accounts simultaneously to stream his music across different platforms, and this led him to being paid out over $10 million in royalties from streaming services. And because the royalty pool is given out proportionally, this is money that would have otherwise gone to other music rights holders. Royalties that should be in the hands of honest artists, producers and labels were allegedly diverted to this fraudulent scheme. I wanted to speak to Mike to hear his side of the story, about all the allegations Jonathan has made about him and the charges against him. He didn't agree to an interview, but I did track someone down who wanted to defend his character.
I've been involved in this industry probably longer than Cher has been alive.
Goldilocks is a musician, business owner, and professional wrestler. I spoke to her on a video call from her studio in Nashville. Like many artists, she's critical of how musicians make money on streaming services.
There's not going to be any transparency for that, Beth. It'll always be some hidden nugget of secrecy. You know why? Because I could tell you with a physical copy because it's a physical copy. And I can see we printed up 100,000 of these CDs or records or whatever, and there's a hard physical copy there. You're not going to be able to track half of this. This stuff is just, it's nutty.
Like Jonathan, she also has experience collaborating with Mike Smith. After meeting Mike at an industry party, Goldie set up a photo shoot for him at the studio she spoke to me from. Like with Jonathan, this led to a working relationship, but she has a very different view of Mike. She told me she was shocked when she first heard the news that he had been arrested.
I literally had tears in my eyes, and it's hard for me to even talk about that. I said, God, I wish there was a way that I could do something to help my colleague, because I feel really sick. And literally the next day, you were in my DMs.
Goldie believes the authorities are making an example out of Mike.
My feed is flooded with, this is how you trick Spotify into spinning your song more so that you can get more revenue. You might as well figure out a way to use it for your benefit. And you know what? Apparently Mike Smith did. Who's got a beef with Mike Smith? Somebody does. In the wrestling business, we call it heat. They're pissed they didn't think of whatever he thought of first.
Some musicians are criticizing him because, you know, that's $10 million that may have been able to go to other artists. And I was just wondering what you would say to that.
If he did something wrong, if it's robbing people, Robbing me of what, Beth? I don't get anything anyway. That's just it. You have to be just getting ridiculous amounts of anything to see anything.
Many artists are unhappy, like Goldie, with how little they're paid for streams. That doesn't change the fact that Mike Smith stands accused of orchestrating a multi-million dollar fraud and stealing from the royalty pool his fellow artists receive payments from. I asked Goldie about the severity of the FBI allegations. After all, they are serious charges. Wire fraud conspiracy, wire fraud and money laundering conspiracy.
I'm Catholic, we can't lie. I don't know anything about the wire stuff.
Mike Smith has pled not guilty in the case, which is currently ongoing. But if he is found guilty, he would be the first person in the United States to be convicted of fraud on music streaming services. Could this case be the landmark conviction that leads to other prosecutions?
I would call the Mike Smith case kindergarten fraud. I think what the case does is allow them to find someone who they have full jurisdictional control over in the United States, a really clean case of manipulation with a lot of money attached to it, to set the precedent they need to go after these more sophisticated, difficult investigations.
That's Andrew Beattie. He's the CEO of BeatZap, a startup that aims to detect fraud on streaming platforms.
A lot of the professional scammers, they don't want to chart. They don't want to be a famous artist. What they want to do is load millions of songs onto different streaming services and then slowly play each song. So no one notices the song that only has 1,000 plays. No one cares about that song. But if you have enough of those songs generating 1,000 plays, you can make a lot of money.
According to the indictment against Mike Smith, that's exactly what his scheme did. It says he had over 200,000 songs generated by an AI company on streaming services. But Andrew told me that the Mike Smith case is just the tip of the iceberg.
I do not believe the DOJ and the FBI have any illusions that $10 million is like the top of the food chain. This sets a precedent for them to go after the hundreds of millions of dollars they want to prosecute. And this is just a building block for them to get there.
We can't independently verify the claims Andrew makes around the scale of fraud on streaming services, but he believes it's a top concern of the music industry.
Everybody is losing proportionally. So if you're an independent artist that makes 10 grand a year, maybe you lost $1,000. So the $1,000 isn't really going to impact your life like that materially. If you're a major label or rights owner, you might actually have gains. Like by eliminating fraud, your revenue could increase $400-800 million because you own the most of the content that's being listened to.
And Jonathan thinks the case could be good for the music business.
I think it's wonderful. I think finally that it levels the playing field. Like we're learning about it. People didn't know like the offense of streaming fraud. We finally have some rules for the first time in music history, because it was a bit like a wild, wild west, because nobody knew, you know, what this become. This came out of nowhere with like apps and like streaming and stuff like that. So I feel great about it.
Mike was actually still making music right up until his arrest. It was only in June of last year Mike had released a track from his latest project with Snoop Dogg.
3 days before he was arrested, he contacted me. And then he was like, don't say anything about me because I'm working with Snoop Dogg. And I don't want any issues. And then 3 days later, I was looking on my phone and I saw that he was arrested.
And after all of his suspicions over the past decade, Jonathan's finally feeling vindicated that he may be right.
When I saw his mugshot, it was like my screensaver for like 2 months. You know, I was like so happy.
I contacted Mike Smith and his legal team about the allegations made in this story and the indictment. They told me,
the indictment is an accusation and he has not pled guilty to any of the charges. Much of the conduct the indictment alleges, as many articles have reported, has been widespread in the music industry for years. Yet, this alleged conduct has never been criminally prosecuted under these statutes before. This is a unique case, and Mr. Smith looks forward to addressing these novel charges in court.
Though we can't be sure which platforms Mike Smith may have focused on, Spotify is one of the biggest music streaming companies in the world, so I asked them for their views on the case. They told us, Spotify invests heavily in automated and manual reviews to prevent, detect, and mitigate the impact of artificial streaming on our platform. They also claim that only a small proportion of the royalties paid to Smith came from them. Mike Smith's case has exposed the industry-wide problem of music streaming fraud. But nobody really knows how big a problem this is. Andrew told me he feels confident that at least 10% of all music streams are fake. If that's true, we can certainly expect to see a response from the music business and potentially more cases down the line. That's it for this edition of the documentary from the BBC World Service with me, Beth Godwin. Thanks to our editor, Flora Carmichael. Please get in touch to tell us what you thought about this episode. You can do that by emailing me at beth.godwin@bbc.co.uk. And if you get a chance, please leave us a review and a rating. BBC Trending will be back at the same time next week. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
I'm Sarah Trelevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, like, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.